Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 64, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Googs and social meds. It's Friday, January 11th. Happy 1-11, everyone. 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. And the Golden Globe Brian goes to Bohemian Jacksody, courtesy of Trite Gang, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, that's right. It's your boy Kusama, experimental Japanese black artist, a.k.a. All My Children. I still like All My Children. And that's a combo, a.k.a. I couldn't sing today. I don't have the pipes for it today. Feeling under the weather.
Yeah. I'm going to get you some water and honey, some warm water and honey.
Is that the key?
I don't know. I thought I heard that somewhere.
Just water and honey.
Water and honey.
Cold water and honey.
There you go. Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Candace Thompson.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Of course.
Sorry that I ignored you downstairs. I was so confused.
Well, what was it about me that was ignorable?
No, it wasn't that it was ignorable. We had, like, inspectors in the building, and then I was, like, stressing out.
Do I look like an inspector?
You do.
Did you confuse me?
Your tool belt threw us off.
Oh, my God.
My tool belt.
I got to stop wearing that.
Well, also, too, because we have all kinds of, like, new shows happening all the time. A lot of people I don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
Miles, it's all right. It's fine.
I was stressed out by the inspector because I thought he was just looking at everything like,
Okay. Oh, so you decided to go with that?
Oh, double course.
Well, Candace, we're going to get to know you a little bit better. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. RIP to Mackenzie Bezos' DMs, because, we're going to talk about that little conscientious uncoupling, or just conscious?
Conscious uncoupling.
I think it was a conscious.
Conscious uncoupling. Talking about Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, but I think the...
Isn't that where
that
the
is
thing,
what they... Yeah, that they is called the it origin, a conscious uncoupling.
They invented it, but I think the Bezoses are fully embracing it.
I think it was like a super amicable split or something they described it.
Well, she's probably going to get half his money, so... I'd be.
I would be. I would be super
hella amicable.
So amicable right
amicable.
Now. We're going to talk about the Trump shutdown and just where we're at as of this recording. Steve King, back in the headlines. We're going to talk about him. And he was wondering why white supremacist is a bad word all of a sudden. Was that his question?
What?
Yeah. I mean, look, we'll get into all that shit later. I don't know.
We're going to look at the economic forecast that has the U.S. as the third largest economy by 2030. So,
we're number three.
There you go. But first, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well,
we are judging you.
This is silly, but I knew the answer before I looked this up, but I always have to be right, and I was trying to prove somebody wrong. So I had a television installed in my living room just recently. Mm-hmm. I had to get a new TV, and the guy from Best Buy who came to install it, we somehow got on the topic of Donald Glover. We were talking about Atlanta, and then he makes the comment of, well, I didn't even know he was Danny Glover's son. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Wow. Okay.
What are you talking about? And he was like, yeah, that's his father. And I said, I'm pretty sure Danny Glover is not Childish Gambino's father. And then so I had to look it up to prove him wrong.
Just to be like, look, this is it, right?
Yes, because.
Was he that adamant about
it? Oh, he was. Yeah, no.
There's nothing worse than like someone being that wrong.
That
wrong. I'm telling you.
And committed to their wrongness.
Right.
Yeah. So
you have to be like.
I had to shut it down.
Was he fact-checkable? Was he like, okay. Or was he like, oh, well, that's what the internet says. But.
He at that point.
Accepted the reality.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yes. He's not a crazy person, I don't think.
He's just Geek Squad.
Yes. Correct.
Yes. So they do. They do respect information.
Yes.
Okay. What is something that you think is underrated?
Underrated is being single.
Okay.
Yeah.
I embrace it.
Okay.
Because I have to now at this
point. How long have you been single?
Most of my life I've been single. Okay. And I do get moments where it's like I do know that companionship is nice and it's comfortable and we all human, right? We want contact and love.
Yes.
But every time I like like try to get into a relationship, something happens and it doesn't work out. And that's most of my relationships. They never work out. And I'm just, and I'm like, you know what? I'm fine being by myself. And mm-hmm. I don't think I'm ever going to get married. I think I'm just, you know, I look
You're good.
I'm good.
Okay.
Spend that time, you know, doing what makes you happy and just realize like, oh yeah, you don't have to like worry about another person. You don't have to like change what you're doing to make them happy. Like, it's just, there's a freedom that's involved with it that I think a lot of people are scared of.
Now, I've heard in some of the stand-up you do, a lot of, you attribute some of that to your dad
being
too good of a dad.
Absolutely.
And so your bar is so fucking high. It's like, who the fuck I'm gonna date?
Yeah, everyone disappoints me. Literally, everyone disappoints me. And I've gotten to the point where it's like, now, it's like, none of the guys that I've dated ever have given me what I've deserved.
Right. Wow.
And the only person that has done that is me.
Right,
you know, and my parents, like my family, and that's what they're supposed to do as parents. Like, I feel like they're supposed to help me and support me and provide and care about my emotional needs. But I'm not here to say that that's someone else's responsibility.
Yeah,
and why put that on somebody? So I take the time to focus on me, and I complain because you know sometimes I be horny.
Yeah,
but I'm even getting past that. I think I'm just like post-sexual at this point.
Post-sexual?
I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
I'm in a whole headspace. I meditate every day and I'm just like, I'm present and just using that energy to be creative.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And your meditation controls the horniness, or it like it, puts it in its place?
Well, yes. I use that energy, that sexual energy, to like just get into a headspace where I'm just enjoying being present in that moment and using that time to really appreciate and be grateful. And I come up with ideas and like jokes when I'm meditating. So I feel like that's where my sexual energy is being channeled.
Just to manifest other things.
Oh, I be manifesting all types of stuff.
You sound
okay,
Abraham. Like you are way better at meditation than I am.
Oh, I probably am. I've been doing it now for almost 2 years now.
I know,
I'm up to like an hour and a half a day I can do.
Yeah, and you're hovering a couple inches off your seat right
now. I can
now.
Levitate.
It's very
yes,
impressive.
That is correct.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, there's a few things.
Okay.
And I don't know which one. Political correctness.
Okay.
For
okay.
sure, I feel like is hella overrated.
Especially right now.
Right now, I just, it's fraudulent. I feel like people do things under the guise of political correctness where they don't actually mean what they're saying. They just don't want to stir the pot or say something offensive, but they still feel that way inside, which is phony.
Right.
And being in this industry of entertainment and seeing that people are like casting certain people because they look diverse, but they don't really care about diversity. They just don't want to be called racist.
Yeah, it's just superficial.
Right. It's so superficial, and I'm tired of it. Like, because I'm a black person that obviously doesn't look traditionally black, but like I've been overlooked for so many things because they want someone who's obviously looking black so that they don't look racist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine, remember when SNL was casting?
Mm-hmm.
When they were having, they got called out for not having any black women in the cast. And then imagine if they had hired me.
Right.
They'd have been like, "Who of all the black women you had to pick this one?" But like, that shouldn't matter.
Right.
If I'm talented and I'm right for the job. But they obviously had to go with a more brown so they don't get called out again. So, and that's just a thing that I have to deal with regularly. But I know that other people have to deal with it as well. It's like, if you're not representing what this particular agenda is, then you're not good for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is not true at all.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like a thought stopping thing.
Yeah.
Political correctness, where you're just like, okay, and this is the right thing to say.
Right.
And this fits into that box.
This is just the right thing to say. I don't believe it.
Right.
And I'm not
I don't
really
believe
trying
it.
To, like,
and I'm
perpetuate.
Not going
to
stand by it. I'm just going to tweet it though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What is, oh, you had another overrated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was my eggplant?
Overrated.
Eggplant, man. I've given it so many shots.
Really?
And I keep going back. I keep trying and like
keep
maybe
going back.
I keep do because I'm like I'm like, people love, right? I see chefs on, I watch Top Chef. I watch all these shows about cooking, and one of my favorite ingredients to work with is eggplant. I have yet to meet an eggplant that has blown my mind.
Wow.
I don't like the texture.
How do you normally cook it?
I don't cook it. I let other people
like when you
handle
go somewhere,
it. Yeah,
because
I don't know how to cook it.
Yeah.
I think I've maybe had an eggplant parmesan that was decent, but it's too mushy for me. And I don't, it doesn't have an overwhelmingly great flavor. It's just there.
It's just vegetarian chicken parm.
Right. And I'm a vegetarian.
Oh shit.
And I'm a actually I'm like transitioning into vegan now also. So like it's but yeah, I'm just not impressed, dude.
Have you had like an aubergine dip? Or like baba ganoush?
Right.
I have had baba ganoush.
You know, that's
a
great...
I do like baba ganoush.
Good representation for eggplant.
I do like but you know, you need something else with the baba ganoush.
Okay. Another thing in Japan, what we do is we like roast it with miso.
Okay.
And then you slow roast it like that. And so you get a really good texture and flavor from that too.
So are you team eggplant?
I'm team everything, really.
Okay.
I just don't like carrots.
You shouldn't like carrots. They're not natural and they're not good for you.
Oh, really? That's Everyone's like, that's why your eyesight's bad. That's why you have to wear glasses when you play video games.
Carrots aren't natural? That was a rumor.
No, they're not. They're man-made.
What do you eat? You're a vegetarian who doesn't eat carrots or eggplants?
Well, we can talk about that. What I eat when we get to the myth thing. Okay. That's what I want to talk about.
Wait, but the carrots you're talking about, because orange is not their natural color, right?
I don't know about that, but I just saw a thing on, I forget what I was watching, but they were talking about how the myth about carrots giving us good eyesight is from World War, either one
two.
Or two.
Yeah,
because they said the pilots were able to shoot the missiles and get their targets because of all the carrots they ate. And then carrots.
It was because we had cracked the Nazis' code.
Yes, and they skyrocketed sales of carrots. So they just started manufacturing carrots for the
economy. This is just genetics, my fucked up eyesight.
Yeah. We had to have an excuse.
Carrots have nothing to do.
Although I love good, actually glazed roasted carrot.
They're good.
Moza? Have you been to Moza?
Yes.
They have these balsamic glazed carrots
But the story, I love that story about the carrots. So we had cracked the Nazis code and we were just like sniping them out of the sky because we like knew where they were because we had cracked the code.
But
in order to like to give them an excuse for why we were able to see them at night, we said that we were eating a lot of carrots and like put that in our thing that we knew they were intercepting. And the Nazis were so fucking stupid that they were like, oh man, we gotta start eating carrots.
So, like, ramp up the carrot thing.
So it's Nazi propaganda.
Yeah.
So stay away from carrots.
And what is a myth?
A myth I wanted to debunk is it's tied in with the whole food thing that we're talking about is the myth that we need to eat three meals a day. That's not accurate at all. We don't need
to
do that.
At least five.
No,
not even. Sorry.
You can do that.
Five little ones.
Well, and they say, I think they even say eight little meals throughout the, like little
know, man.
Snacks
Who the
and
hell
stuff.
Has time for that?
Yeah. I don't, right, who does? But you don't have to, we really don't have to eat that much at all. I sometimes on Sundays will just eat one meal. I do intermittent fasting all the time, right. Which is I'll eat one meal and then I won't, and like in the middle of the day, and then I won't eat again until that same time the next day. And I'll do that for weeks on end.
Damn.
And I feel great.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And I don't do the whole protein thing and how we need a bunch of protein from meat. Like, you don't need that stuff. So, like, and I've been vegetarian, no meat, like pork and beef related since I was 13. I gave up chicken in 2007, and now I'm transitioning into.
What happened in 2007?
Someone touched me. I got molested by a chicken.
By Colonel Sanders.
By Colonel Sanders.
The San Diego.
I fasted, and then I felt so good after I did the fast in 2007 that I was like, I don't want to go back to feeling like that. So I just gave it up.
So what is your favorite food?
Oh, man.
Or what do you find yourself eating the most?
My favorite food is pizza. Yes. It is pizza. Hey. But well, now I'm...
How the hell are you going to do vegan?
Well, I'm... I am... Like, it's one of those things where I feel like if I... I'm trying to do, like, an alkaline, raw food vegan because I was having some health issues last year, and, like, I just kept getting sick. And I was like, why am I... And I'm healthy. I told you, I exercise, I do yoga, I don't eat like terrible foods all the time. I was like, I'm supposed to be like one of the healthier people. And I was like, I kept getting sick. And so I just did research and I just want to create an alkaline.
Alkalize your life.
Yep. So that's what I'm doing as of right now. And I plan to do it most of the time. I will have, if I go like 3 months and I'm like, you know what? I want a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a pizza or I'm going to have ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cut anything out entirely, but I do want to live my life mostly where I do like
mostly
the raw
vegan.
Food, vegetarian, like, or vegan, fruits, vegetables, mostly.
Okay. What's your favorite vegetable?
And I can't do this one anymore. And it made me very mad. I love broccoli, but broccoli is a hybrid. It's man-made as well. Broccoli
everything's
is everything. Not like, everything. No, not everything.
The Native Americans made like basically everything. But yeah, I mean, not with chemicals or anything.
Right. But like everything has evolved. Everything's genetically modified.
Right,
now.
Right.
So yeah, no, like cauliflower is not.
Wait, so cruciferous vegetables aren't good?
No, they're all hybrids. So yeah, no, they're not good for you. Like there's a list of alkaline foods and those are not on there.
Okay.
Carrots are not on there. But like there, kale, you can do, even spinach is like touch and go. Like you can have a little bit, but not too much. All the lettuces are fine except for iceberg, the trash one. You know, the one they shred
of water.
To put
I
on
love
tacos.
I love an iceberg wedge, but I think it has more to do with the blue cheese and bacon.
And the bacon than the actual.
Just the thickest bacon. All right, let's talk about Mackenzie Bezos and Jeff Bezos. They announced that they were super amicably splitting after 25 years of marriage. This seems like something to aspire to if you're going to get a divorce like the way they're doing it. They just seem very positive.
Well, it seems like for the last year or something, they were separated. There was right. like a trial separation.
And they were working on it.
And then, you know, but then I'm
they
sure
got four kids, but I think they're mostly grown. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, luckily for them, or maybe for Mackenzie, Washington, the laws in Washington State and the lack of a prenup means she'll be getting half of his $144 billion fortune.
What's to be mad about?
No.
She
peace.
Yeah.
Will they be like the third and fourth richest people in the world now?
Well, now he's going to be below Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And then she becomes the wealthiest woman on earth.
Right.
That's amazing.
And like that.
How long had they been together?
25 years.
Yeah. And a thing they said was in their joint statement about their super amicable separation is that they were like, if we had known at the outset that we were going to have these 25 years, we'd do it all over again. I think that's a good way to think about it. You know, like, you know, it was what it was and it's over.
It's run its
like,
course.
Still, yeah.
When it's over.
That's what happens, now, man. Everything ends.
When you get to the details of like what he's up to now, you get into like the billionaire headspace that's like, oh, you're on some next level shit. Well, because he's already dating his best friend's wife.
What? Ex-wife?
Yeah. No.
No, wife.
Current wife.
Current wife.
So they're separated as well.
They're separated now, right?
Did they plan the separation? They're just going to swap? This is like wife swap?
I don't know, man. It's interesting. So it is somebody who Miles grew up having a crush on, Laura Sanchez.
From Fox 11 News.
TV anchor.
Fox News.
Local
no.
TV
Fox
anchor.
11, like local Fox.
Oh, Fox yeah, 11. Yeah, not... You're right. All I heard was Fox. Yo, it's triggering.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't know the vibe of our show? Wait till we do our Brett Bayer sketch because he's so Bay. No, yeah, Lauren Sanchez. I love her.
Yes,
but she was married to Tony Gonzalez, I think, before Patrick Whitesell.
Tony
right?
Gonzalez, then Patrick Whitesell, who is like the co-head of WME,
right?
And then now she's climbing on up to that Jeff Bezos. Yeah,
but it sounds like Lauren Sanchez. She sounds like. Just based upon her dating history and like she's been married twice. Is that mm-hmm. what? So she's probably age appropriate, right?
Yeah, she's 49.
That's
and
great.
And he's 54.
I love that.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it's a good look for them, I guess, if they're splitting amicably, because there's nothing to say. The National Enquirer, now take this with like 9 million grains of salt, was like, you know, they were dating even before the trial separation. Most people were like, no, once they separated, that's when he started dating her.
That's when it started.
But a lot of people were also like, does any of their split have to do with, because like about almost 2 years ago, 18 months ago, when like Swole Bezos came out, everyone was like, what?
I missed Swole Bezos.
Yeah, like suddenly he just came out just
like
jacked.
Chappelle, how like Chappelle had run away for like
and then made his head look even smaller. like that's sort of what Jeff Bezos and a lot of people were like, oh, I wonder if that's when the split began. And he was like, he's trying to get his groove back.
That midlife
thing. That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a couple quotes from him that seem like they're veering in the this dude's a creep direction, but actually I don't hate him for it. So he was like, at a certain point I was sort of a professional dater and I had to develop what he labeled women flow, which is like the equivalent of deal flow when a Wall Street person is like, I won't have anything under a $10 million equity investment. But then he said the number one criterion was that I wanted a woman who could get me out of a third world prison.
What?
Which is very specific, but like when you look at Laura Sanchez, so first of all, his wife, who he's separating from, is actually very like smart. Miles, you were saying Toni Morrison was her teacher at
Princeton. Was like, she was my greatest student in literature or whatever.
Toni Morrison taught her?
Yeah.
That's amazing. How lucky.
And so Laura Sanchez, when she used to be, you know, man on the street reporter, local news reporter, which is kind of a badass job. I have a friend who did that, and she was like kicking down doors and getting like punched and shit. Like it's a tough job.
Well, I don't know if Lauren Sanchez was doing that. She was, especially when she did Good Day LA.
But to become a local news reporter, you got to be in the shit for a period of your career.
It's like Navy SEALs training, right?
Right. But now she has started a new career where she launched a business where she is a helicopter pilot who shoots footage for films. She shot footage for Dunkirk.
She has a credit on Dunkirk?
Yes. She,
wow.
Her company, and she is a helicopter pilot. So she learned how to be a helicopter pilot and was like, man, this is a lot of fun.
Skills.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, he seems to be sticking with that because it seems like she could stage a literally helicopter-based prison break from, you know?
He was like, tell me about your skills, Mom. She's like, well, I'm a helicopter pilot. He's like, how are you with lockpicking?
Right.
Well, versus lockpicking, safe cracking.
Right.
I speak 19 languages. Yeah.
He makes her disarm a bomb.
Yeah, she's
on
like, I know how to do Morse code with my eyes.
Yeah.
There's also some shit in the National Enquirer that was like leaked text messages that are just creepy, but I don't know.
If they're real.
Yeah.
But if they are real.
I love you, alive girl.
Was a text he sent her.
What the fuck does that mean?
I love you, comma, alive girl.
Now, it's better than I love you alive,
comma girl.
Yeah.
But
right.
Alive girl being a nickname is very weird.
It just sounds like an algorithm trying to fuck.
Alive.
I love you, alive girl. And then the other one said, I will show you with my body and my lips and my eyes very soon. I want to hold you tight. I want to kiss your lips. I love you. I am in love with you. I want fuck. It's sort of like,
where hey, last don't one laugh wasn't at real, robot last, companions,
I want fuck, yeah,
man.
But,
I know. That's the future.
That's the way I'm going. Yeah. And I think.
Matt Drudge wants us all to know that that's the future, at least.
It
the
is.
Drudge Report is always, he's showing his ass a little bit because he has a very clear robot sex bias.
A bias towards them?
He just reports on any robot sex story.
Oh, okay.
He's like, they're coming.
They're coming, guys.
They are
wink,
coming.
Wink.
They are coming.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
I mean,
are.
Look, third world prison, that's kind of a good, I thought it was, when I started reading that excerpt, I was like, oh,
women
where are we going to go?
I was like, oh,
I was like, this
on,
sounds
yeah,
like some
bro.
Problematic pickup artist type yeah. shit. And then he's like, a woman who can get me out of a third world prison.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
no, I thought
I like
for sure
lot.
He was
yeah.
like about to drop some Neil Strauss.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And because we have to check in with him on all news stories, a reporter asked Trump what he thought of the Bezos divorce. And he commented, it's going to be a beauty. It's going to be a beauty.
Wow. He's just so jealous, man. He wishes he could split fucking $3 with somebody, let
right.
alone $140 billion.
So let's talk about his shutdown that he is going to own. He doesn't care. He's going to own it, he said.
I mean, that's what he said last month, and now it's like, they're so unreasonable.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
So what's the latest?
What's the latest? Well, Wednesday was a pretty epic day. So he sat down with some nervous centrist Republicans and just Republican senators who were like, hey, this is not a great look for us right now.
Right.
And like they were telling him, they're like, we're not really sure this is the best plan. And then apparently that meeting just sort of ended and like Lisa Murkowski came out and they're like, oh, so what came of the meeting? Like, did you guys find a solution? She's like, I wish he gave more detail on how we'll do that and just smiled and like let the elevator doors close and then like vaporized.
Right.
And then, you know, Marco Rubio was like, we just have to stick together on this.
Right.
Which is like, okay, whatever. Mm. So it clearly, I think despite all their nervousness and being like, this is really going to even hit my state pretty hard. Like, what's the deal? Trump is just like, we need full throttle. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then he met with Democrats and that did not go well at all. apparently, like he just, it seems like from some of the reporting, a lot of the White House officials believed that they could just drag the shutdown on long enough and the Democrats would cave like they normally have.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But since Stella, Nancy, got her groove, gavel, back, she is like, nah, fuck out of here. Like I told you, I've been saying since the midterms, there will be no wall money.
Right.
Penny.
Right.
And apparently when that happened, Trump slammed his fucking hands on the tiny little baby hands on the desk and stormed out and was just like, well, this is going nowhere.
Yeah. He just threw a tantrum and was like, I'm just going to shut the government down because I can.
Right. And just keep it shut down.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people speculate too. Like, you know, he came out after and was like, everything you hear, that's fake. Like, I don't have tantrums.
Right.
I don't slam tables. Like, I'm the most...
You're having one right now.
Yeah, right, literally. Like, I don't...
Sir, your arms are folded and you're stomping your
yeah.
feet.
He's like, are you sweating from the front of your pants? Like, no, that's something else. But yeah, he just... And then, like, Mike Pence came and was like, no, he was really nice in there. I don't know. And
he gave us candy.
Yeah.
That was what one of the Republicans said.
But Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, the Democrat, he was like, well, it's true. He came in. And dropped some candy bars in front of Chuck Schumer and said, I think you guys will enjoy these. And he's like, but I don't think that substantively indicates anything just because he came in and brought candy. Like,
right.
That, okay, so what? It's mm-hmm. like the fact of the matter remains, like, we're trying to get to a deal. And
maybe,
you know,
this will sweeten the deal.
The pot.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work?
No. God damn it.
Runs out.
You burned me, Mike.
I told you to get paydays. Right. Paydays next time.
Yeah. It should have been 100 grand, and it would have been so many 100 grands, it added up to a 5 billion.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I think, and other people are saying, like, you know, he just did this to try and frame the Democrats as being unreasonable. I think just much in that same way when he self-owned in the Oval Office and Mike Pence tried to astrally project himself like Luke Skywalker
right.
in the last Star Wars movie out of the room. Yeah. Like, that was, like, a play to try and frame this differently, and I think it just didn't work.
Yeah.
So...
And the shutdown is starting to hurt people. I mean, it's yeah. been hurting people, but...
I mean, this will be the first Friday where no one gets a check.
Right. And 78% of Americans work paycheck to paycheck.
Who
so.
Are who are these people that are going to work for free?
Because
I can't.
Yeah.
Like, what would... I would just leave and then go get a job that, you know, wasn't controlled by the government. But
right.
I don't... I mean, I know some people, they need... Obviously, they need their jobs, but, like... I would not go to work if you ain't paying me.
Right.
I'm not
just
volunteering.
Fundamental as a fundamental
yeah,
just
like, when
philosophical
am I getting
point.
Paid?
Right.
I can't keep doing this.
Well, yeah. You know, that's why the Coast Guard, they had to distribute a tip sheet on, like, basically telling a lot of these furloughed people who work for the Coast Guard who are, like, non-essential and, like, aren't even getting, like, literally, like, don't even come in because we can't even pay you. But then they're the essential people who are like, you got to come in and hopefully we'll pay you.
Yeah.
But for those other ones, they put a tip sheet out with just all kinds of real, like, it's just the most unsympathetic, like, it just lacks any kind of understanding for what people are going through.
Yeah.
Because there was one that's like step four in their like really great tip sheet, just says supplement your income. Other than cutting back on, this is directly from the Coast Guard. This was distributed by the Coast Guard. Other than cutting back on your expenses, the only other way to compensate for the loss of income is to add new income.
Mm.
Be creative.
Hilarious.
Finding supplemental income during your furlough
Start
period.
Start a podcast.
Might, right. No, literally. Might be challenging, but here are a few ideas for adding income. Have a garage sale. Clean out your attic, basement,
you
and closets at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Sell unwanted larger ticket items through the newspaper
Stop
or online.
It.
Offer to watch children, walk pets, or house sit. Turn your hobby into income.
Stop it.
What the oh, huh?
Are you
and then
fucking kidding?
Have untapped teaching skills and expertise. Tutor students. Give music or sports lessons. Become a mystery shopper. Retailers are desperate
Become
to check how their in-store
shopper.
Customer services and will employ you to shop and rate their service.
To be wow. fair, those all are valid options.
They all
right.
are. I mean,
you
just
do
in
any
general.
Of those things.
But right. yeah, it's like, it's one of those things too where like offering people these empty tips when you know, you have people
right.
who are like already like, I'm pawning items off to pay for my medication.
Right. I'm selling right. eggs
right.
from my ovaries.
Right. Yes. That's where like you'd, again, I mean, not like I say you'd hope that the White House understands what that means, but they're willing to just
yeah,
put
it's just so,
800,000 people's lives on the line.
It's just, so condescending. I mean, the thing that the conservatives are supposed to be so angry about is like the idea of a nanny state that takes care of you. But then when shit comes down, they are like, okay, here's how money works. You can become a mystery shopper.
Right.
Become a piano
become
teacher.
Become a surgeon.
Learn right. how to play the piano.
Like surgeons make over six, like right. make six figure incomes. Like, well, hold on.
And it just assumes. Like that, this is some shit that companies do all the time too, where they just assume that your time is not being valuably spent. That like
right.
absolutely
during the 16 hours that you're not working for them, you're not doing anything that you need to do. It's
yeah.
just like your time. Well, you could just be working more. Like you could
oh,
work
oh, just
overtime.
Like that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like no, like
I'm surprised one of them, like the last one, was like, your kids got jobs yet?
Right.
Exactly. Put them to work.
Put your 8-year-old
no,
to
seriously.
Work.
Seriously. Like, they
You're
don't.
Lazy.
No thought to childcare, none of that shit.
I don't even, I honestly don't think Trump even thought about or even knew, like, the ramifications. Like, I don't think when he shut the government down, he was like, oh, these people are going to be out of work.
No,
I don't
they didn't.
Even, yeah, I think he didn't even, like, that didn't even, like, oh, people get paid by the government? I don't even think that dawned
yeah.
on him.
People,
but even if it did, would he have cared? I don't think so.
People at the, in the White House, in his administration were like, yeah, we didn't really realize that.
Like, yeah. They gave a quote that is like, we are now working to understand the scope of the impact of the shutdown.
Right.
Or the breadth of the impact of the
yes.
shutdown. You're like,
you are the leader of the free world and you don't know that people work for the government.
I mean, Nancy Pelosi's quote.
No.
Nancy Pelosi's quote that, you know, he thinks that everybody can just ask their daddy for more money was
right.
kind of a sick burn.
No, for real.
Well done.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yes. But it's just, I mean, it's another indictment on this capitalist system we have here. We're like, yeah, hi, okay, you don't have a job. And also the way this thing's set up, more than 3/4 of you are like relying, they're living paycheck to paycheck with no safety net. And even if there was, look, the government shut down because we want to build a fucking racist ass wall. So,
And the top story on Drudge from us the day yesterday was, you know, basically economists are warning that a catastrophe is in the making if the government closure continues for weeks.
Right. Mm. Well, because the FDA is like, we are have diminished capacity to even check on like food standards now. Like with especially with vegetables, soft cheeses.
That affects
and
me
other
personally.
Yeah, seriously. Because I mean, what happens when, you know, some kind of massive fuck up occurs? We're already talking about TSA workers who are like calling in sick because they're like, sorry, no money. Then I'm not coming in.
Yeah, this is really not good for my relationship with Robert Evans because he's like a doomsday prepper and he's like,
see, I told you.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't trust food. That's why I eat canned lettuce.
That sounds disgusting.
What is that?
That's why I eat beefaroni.
Yeah.
Somebody did ask Trump, you know, you're a real estate guy. How do you think, as a landlord, how do you think you would deal with people being late on their rent? And he was like, oh, you know, landlords are very flexible. This coming from a guy who has like evicted people the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you say? Like, he's like, they'll know they're good for it.
Yeah. They'll be good for it. You know.
Yeah. I mean, look, great.
They're always
great
flexible.
Logic to use
uh-huh.
amid that. And then, I mean, as of now, we haven't seen his cool visit to the border yet.
Right.
But there's some wall news that came out on NBC where they're like, the like Department of Homeland Security or I think or ICE, they were sitting on a report that like last year they asked Marines to see if they could get through these wall prototypes with just regular ass tools.
Impossible. They're made of steel.
These are steel slats. They can't get through. Drugs can't get through. Nothing can get through. Brown people can't get through. Well, the Marines just used a handsaw and cut the shit
open.
And they're like, we just sawed it open.
Wait,
and
a
they
hand
were,
saw?
Like that one you could get at Home Depot, like a quick saw.
Really?
Yeah. And they were, and then like DHS was sitting on that report because they're like, yo, keep that shit up. Like, you don't want people to know that this isn't even a fucking functional wall in that sense as a barrier.
I mean, there's some pretty crazy quotes from like, one NPR reporter talked to a head of the Border Patrol in the Rio Grande Valley, and he said that a literal wall is like needed maybe in a couple places. And this is like somebody who is like very strong on border stuff. He was like, you have the need for a physical barrier. You have the need for technology with the infrared, you know, the ground sensors and cameras, and you have the personnel aspect as well. And she was like, yeah, but the president talks about this sort of wall from sea to shining sea. He was like, yeah, I know. Honestly, I don't think that's going to work. I mean, if you look at Big Bend, you'll have areas that are a 30-foot cliff down to the Rio Grande. And to put another 30-foot section on top of that seems kind of redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
huh.
We'll see. I mean, not to mention all the eminent domain shit that would have to like go down and trying to be like, well, we need this property to create this no-go zone.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So the people who work on the border don't want a border wall like he's talking about. The American people don't want the border wall, but Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh
want
the border wall.
They want it.
Yeah.
Well, sounds fair.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, eventually maybe Fox News will end the shutdown.
That's right.
You know?
If anybody has the power.
Yeah. Trump won, Dems nothing. All right, let's talk about shit that doesn't really matter to actual Americans, but Steve King has gifted the GOP with a moment for them to kind of do the right thing. Just be like, okay, here is a very clear-cut way that you can disagree with me.
Yeah. I mean,
and
we
how are they doing with that?
Well, you know, the Iowa Nazi taint scab, Steve King, he just, he's at it again. In the white vans, because he in the New York Times basically had a quote that said white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? Why did I sit in class teaching me or sit in classes teaching me about the merits of our history and our civilization? Okay, so this is real easy, guys. Here you go. Censure this man.
Right.
Do something. Don't just push back around midterms and be like, oh well, I don't agree. And then you can come out unequivocally and be like, white nationalism, white supremacy has no fucking place in the lexicon of this party or the government or this country at all. But again, they'll just, I think, sit back and, you know, probably just pretend like nothing happened.
Yeah.
But it's another like moment where like Steve King is just outwardly out here being like, yeah, I'm a white supremacist, man. What the fuck's the problem?
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't that become a bad word? Oh, 1945?
Why? What happened then?
Right. Part of the problem.
Sorry, the only part
at the latest point, at the latest possible moment, I think, I'll tell you, the latest moment where it became offensive was 1945, and then centuries before that.
Yes.
Right.
But again, look, what you know.
But our president not disavowing any of it, it does not help anything.
Yeah.
It like makes these people think that what they're doing is okay. When he had an opportunity to say we're not okay with this, and he still was just like.
Right.
They're very fine people.
Yeah.
on both sides.
And I think that's the type of political correctness that I do think we need to be on board with is the stuff that discourages people from, you know, being openly racist.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. But you know what's interesting is that I have conversations on Instagram regularly. Because as a black person, I talk about like how I'm proud of being black. Like regularly, I embrace being black. And then, like, some white person will slide into my DMs without fail whenever I post a video about this. And they'll say, how come you can say that you have black pride, but I can't say I have white pride? And then I'm like, do we really have to have this conversation? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you not know the history of that phrase, like, white pride? Like, it's a lot of heinous things have been done to black and brown people under the umbrella of white pride.
Right.
So, like, if you're a white person and you want to say that word or that phrase, I'm sorry. You can't, even if it's no malice and it's just you just are proud of being a white person, like you can't say it because it's been ruined by some really awful white people that use it to kill people.
Well, and just ignores the fact that as people of color, we're taught that or you're inundated with the idea that we are less than.
Right.
So that's a way to overcome that by outwardly saying like, no, I can be proud of being African American. I can be proud of of who I am. Because that is counter to what I've
been taught,
socialized with
my whole entire life. Right.
So I remember like as a kid, someone was like, "Well, if there's BET, why can't
there be
white entertainment?"
Or, I'm like, white
"It's called
month.
Every other fucking channel,
right?
Where's
White History Month?
Yeah,
stop it.
Where's our parade?
Right."
all the time.
Yes. And please explain it to me without any historical context or any cultural.
Yeah, just on the face of what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
Don't use history or sociology.
You know, I don't care about that stuff. Right. Facts.
Facts, yeah.
Well, America, we're looking into the future, or experts looking into the future in London have predicted that the United States will be the third largest economy in the world come 2030. And with China, people have been talking about how China is going to surpass the U.S. for a while.
For like 30 years.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, like in kindergarten, my parents were like, you should learn Chinese.
Right now it's neck and neck for GDP. The U.S. is a little bit ahead of China. By 2030, they're projecting China's GDP will be $64 trillion and the United States will be $31 trillion. So it's like not even going to be close.
What the?
Yeah, no, that's double.
So
it's more than double.
So these next 11 years are about to be lit for China, basically?
Well, so the prediction is actually based on something that makes a lot of sense, that basically as technology spreads and economic equality becomes greater.
Where?
Like just around the world, like with
subtly.
The spread of
I was
technology
like,
and like
economic equality.
Well, so the idea being that countries that have bigger populations, which China and India is going to be in second place, and the idea is that because there will be fewer and fewer people in just complete abject poverty in those countries, that just by the very like fact of them having billions and billions of people, they will kind of catch up and overtake the United States. So it won't be like on a per capita basis,
right?
But just in terms of being a global power, China will double the United States, and India will, they're predicting, be at $46 trillion, while the United States will be at $31 trillion. So, yeah, I'm hoping that's the case, because those countries have way more people and they need more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we could use some economic equality in the U.S. too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we already have our own caste system, but, be cool. That might be cool. That might be something to look forward to.
Yeah. But anyways, that'll be interesting to see how that shifts things.
China, did they still have that 2 child per household?
So they got rid of that.
They got rid of that.
Yeah, but they're still feeling the effects, because there's a huge difference, both in terms of like generationally, they have this huge generation that's about to retire, and the working age generation is actually going to be way smaller because they were part of the two or one child policy.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's actually bad for their economy. And it's called the dependency ratio. And then there's also the fact that most Chinese families were looking for boys. And so there's a huge imbalance between the number of men and women and Chinese
Hence
men.
Hence the sex robots.
Right. Yeah. Well, like there's a lot of that. I think there's like entire culture of Chinese men who are just like, yeah, no, I'm never going to like find somebody. Like we gave up on that like a long time ago, and we're just like not even dating. We're just, I gamble. That's
so,
what
yeah,
I do.
I should move there because I'm already, I'm right there.
You can just join that squad.
LA is no different. Yeah, no. It's the same thing. I quit.
Yeah, you guys like, I'm going to be single forever. I'm just going to do improv.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And there's a story out of Facebook
about
what it's like to work there. And apparently that sort of souffle of high ambition and like positivity, like bullshit Silicon Valley positivity, like, you guys, we're out here changing the world by bringing people closer together.
You sound like a weird Nick Cage character. We're changing the world.
The Social Network would have been so much better if Mark Zuckerberg was played by Nick Cage. But also, you know, along with the PR scrutiny, just everybody's like walking around with like a forced smile on their face, just being like, woo, this is great, man. Yeah. I love it. I love all you guys. And meanwhile, everyone's just like really not thrilled with working there. It went from the number one happiest place to work in America to number seven in the past year, which is still pretty happy.
Okay.
But people are...
I think we like to last.
But there, it really seems like the on an individual basis, the way people feel is reflected in how they operate as a company on the whole. Like there was this dude, head of policy, Joel Kaplan, caused an internal uproar when he went to the hearing of Judge Brett Kavanaugh in support of Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, everyone was like,
that's not great. And so they got real mad about that. And they had a sexual harassment, like, you know, meeting with like all the employees. And this girl got up and was like, I was reticent to speak because the pressure for us to act as though everything is fine and that we love working here is so great that it hurts. There shouldn't be this pressure to pretend to love something when I don't feel this way.
Wow.
And the place went nuts. Everyone was like, fuck yes, finally somebody's saying it.
Was that in response to homeboy going to the being
Brett
a standing yeah, Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, exactly. And just like, I think generally the culture. She was specifically addressing Sheryl Sandberg, who is Miss Queen Lean In herself. It was just like, come on, guys, you can just suck it up.
Just
Lean
suck
In
it
should
up.
Be called Suck It Up.
Just like, what, did George Soros get to you guys too?
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay, I see what's going on in here. Who's paying your phone bill?
So do we know now what the happiest place to work is?
It's actually this podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I have no idea, actually, but that would be a good thing. Let's
look that I feel
up.
Like it's DreamWorks.
Let's see, according to...
I've been to that campus, and it's
DreamWorks
amazing.
DreamWorks is awesome.
Yeah. They have their cafeteria alone is reason.
Well, I'm sure there's like a happiness arms race with Pixar. Because Pixar's place is like, well, albeit very problematic for female employees.
John Lasseter
right.
Yeah.
But they have all those like little tree houses. Everybody has their own individual little tree house that they work inside.
Yeah, no. And DreamWorks, they have like a speakeasy that's on one of the floors where you open up a book and turn a handle and a book. Case
a
opens
whimsical
and you
word
get ice. To go and drink and it's
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool as shit.
Well, let's see. I mean, according to CNBC last year, it listed Keller Williams Realty.
That's what I was gonna guess.
And Nike at number two. Total
Keller
quality.
Keller Williams Realty.
Yeah, that's
people
weird.
People who work
Boring.
At Nike. People who work at Nike
are pretty happy.
Are very happy. Like even like hipster people who you're like. You expect them to be like, yeah, it's whatever, man. They're just like, nah, it's a great place to work. It's the best. Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Adobe Systems, at number four.
Oh, for real?
Amgen?
Really?
Yeah.
Because they're like the number four most annoying company in the world for me as a
emails?
Consumer on
random
right.
emails.
Yeah. Random
like,
emails.
Do you want to, hey, like, man, you want to update your flash?
Yeah. Right. Pay here. No. Let's talk about the Oscars, you guys. Everybody looking forward
what
to
happened?
It?
What happened? Well, who won? Did it happen yet?
Didn't happen
it has
yet.
Not. They haven't even announced the nominees
yet. They did the Golden
yet,
Globes.
They did the Golden Globes.
Wait, oh, so they stopped that shit? I remember they were trying to announce their nominees before the Golden Globes because there was like that whole thing where people were like, you guys are just going off what the Golden Globes are doing. And they're like, no. Watch us do it 3 months in advance and like a month before the Golden Globes do theirs.
So stupid.
So
childish.
Now, because Kevin Hart has announced he's over it, that's specifically what he said because he faced more backlash for his like homophobic comments and refusal to apologize and then apology. He would apologize while refusing to apologize. So he was like, I'm over it. And the Oscars were like, well, we're out of ideas. So we're just going to go with no host.
That might actually be best.
Well, so I didn't think it necessarily seemed like the worst idea in the world.
Yeah.
However, this is the 30-year anniversary of what everyone agrees are the worst Oscars ever. And that was the last time they went without a host. And it was bizarre. They like started it with this musical number where Snow White, for some reason, is there and like talking in this like really cartoony, high-pitched voice and then sings a duet where she's like on a blind date and flirting with Rob Lowe, who just a year earlier had been like in a sex
scandal thing.
Sex scandal because he was on videotape having sex with a 16-year-old.
On tape?
Yeah.
He was like the first fuck? Sex tape.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
But anyways, it was like, it was a nightmare. Like, first of all, they didn't even get Disney's permission to use Snow White.
Hilarious.
Wait, so someone, they just had some bootleg animator just be like, hey, can you do Snow White?
They just got the woman who dresses as Snow White off Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking of something really high concept. I'm like, so he was dancing with
this
an animated
not Snow
person?
White. This is Ho
no,
Trite.
Right.
But, yeah. But everything, like, they were like, Snow White, follow the stars to the stage. And the stars were just people in cutout stars. It, like, looked like a high school production of some shit. It was just the wackest thing.
Well, I
thought
there's a way to do it better than that.
Well, but so Disney,
without a host.
Right.
Disney are rumored to be turning to the Avengers. Like they're gonna have the Avengers host it partially. Which
and what
just,
Thanos is just gonna snap and all the other hosts are gonna disappear.
I'm just gonna turn to ash.
Yeah. Right.
Like, hey, still a hostless Oscars. Sorry.
I don't know, man.
We
this is. I have a bad feeling about this. We'll see.
Wait, so they mean like that? The like people are gonna pull up dressed as the Avengers?
I don't know. I guess so.
Like
that seems like the way they're going.
It's, right. To why, present the award for best editing, Thor.
Right.
Terrible idea.
Yeah. And they were like real dismissive of the idea of having a single host. They were like, instead of having some comedian go up there and like drop a bunch of Trump zingers for the first 20 minutes, we're going to have a bunch of different A-listers. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know, man. So you're just like not cool with people making fun of Trump? Just because you put it in an old-timey, shitty way doesn't mean that it's like
right.
It's a worse idea than whatever the fuck you
the
guys
Avengers.
Are going to come up with. Yeah. So
man, it's bad when you know like we already cringe at the thought of it being hostless. And just like I feel now it's like one of those things where like nobody's gonna want to write for the Oscars.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because now that's gonna fall on them.
Yeah.
Right.
How am I supposed to make?
Yo,
this
who
good?
Wrote this?
Right.
And they're like, oh. Shit.
Then they're like, well, we'll just get rid of the writers.
Yeah. Right. Right. Like so, yeah. No writers, no host. Interactive awards.
Right.
Were, based on tweets.
Yeah.
I honestly wouldn't mind that. Just tell me who won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need all the fluff.
But somebody was saying that to this point. Ratings have been strongly driven by
yeah.
whoever the host is.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the first year that Jimmy Kimmel came, it was really high.
I thought he did a great job.
I did too. I thought he killed it. But then, like,
Ellen.
The next year it went down a little bit. And so they think that it is really based on host. Ellen was, I think, the best at it.
Yeah.
And I think she recognizes that she was, like, the best and kind of the obvious choice. And that's why she was trying so hard to get Kevin Hart to take the job again. She's like, come on, man. Just you should do it. We all want you to do it.
I didn't know she was trying to do that.
Yeah, she had him on her show and was like, it's all good. Forget about the homophobia.
I feel like Tiffany Haddish is next.
All right. Well, Lena Waithe quote says, I want a really gay-ass black person to host. So, hey, well, I think that's a good response.
Yeah.
But again, who's going to do it? Lena Waithe?
What about that guy from the Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife video?
Oh, yeah. Right?
They're taping everybody.
They're going to be like literally viral video people. Like,
yeah, the
Dan
guy
Daniel.
Who did the Patti LaBelle sweet potato yeah. pie.
Yeah.
Patty.
Them, Dan that Daniel, the Cash Me Outside girl.
Damn, Daniel.
If they, wow. Could you imagine though? I could see the old people at ABC being like, whoa. Who can get the ratings? Like, who's big on the internet?
Right, on the interwebs.
Yeah.
They already have that.
Look at Joanne the Scammer. Hey, Joanne the Scammer would be great. I would tune in if Joanne the Scammer did.
They should just have Zeit guests, you know?
Yeah, well, look. I mean, if only people knew who the fuck we were.
That would be.
Hey, I can guarantee you 10,000 viewers.
They're like,
And we do host red ads.
All right. Let's talk about Taco Bell, finally.
Yes.
And finally. And
Taco Bell. Look, they had a whole thing. They're like, we don't do resolutions. We do commitments. Mm. So these are our 2019 commitments. And they're actually pretty decent slash the least you can possibly do as a gigantic corporation in
right.
the quick service restaurant industry. But for starters, they're going to remove synthetic preservatives from all menu items. So they say there's a 25% total reduction in sodium by 2025. And like using things more like actually vine-ripened tomatoes and like Haas avocados. Mm. That all the beef that's being used now
what
is like being...
What are they using now?
It's all air quotes. It's like tomatoes and right. quote-unquote avocado spread.
Like the Haas avocado is the only avocados I've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
What brand are you using?
I'm sure there's other ones, right? Some off-brand avocados.
Yeah.
And then they're saying all the beef will be like produced sustainably. Okay. At least you can do. More like better recycling. They're going to cut down on like gigantic ass cups so people don't, you know, just kill themselves with sugar right away. Creating more jobs and also like dumping more money into their Taco Bell Foundation, which I think like grants people scholarships and stuff yeah. who work at the stores, which is fine.
That's embarrassing though. Would you want to tell somebody you're on
check.
A Taco Bell
well, just scholarship? Give it love. Yeah.
Just actually, I would, but that's me. That's a very specific.
I would actually
type
have the
person.
Flux. I'm like, you know who the fuck I am.
It's a Taco Bell scholar.
Yeah, now give me my free chalupa. And they're like, it doesn't work like that.
I'm like, I wouldn't even believe you if you told me.
I know.
Like, it's not a real thing.
Yeah, the Taco Bell scholarship.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, though, is that they are now beginning to test their like full on dedicated vegetarian menus.
There you go, Candace.
You know,
I'm sure that's exciting.
They
for
have
you.
A vegetarian menu.
They're, like, they're,
I mean, I know about the
they're
bean
going
and cheese
all in.
Burrito.
Yeah, which is like a go to. Which for a long time, like a lot of vegetarians could get their you know their snack on at Taco Bell. But they're saying they're gonna have new items. But they say as the only American Vegetarian Association certified quick service restaurant, Taco Bell has more than 8 million vegetarian combinations, and there are plenty of gratifying meatless options from which to choose as well. Enough to customize a new meal. Every day for nearly 20,000 years.
That's
way to use math just yeah. to be like, well, there are, I mean, technically millions of combinations. So
there's 8 million combinations of beans.
Yeah,
right.
Beans yeah. and cheese.
Yeah. Beans with cheese. Beans without cheese.
Get it without cheese.
Beans with cheese, but without onions.
Uh-huh.
Beans with cheese and onions.
Beans
Man,
with extra beans.
Let's keep
beans?
This going.
Just cheese and onions.
Yeah. Oh, just a tortilla. Right. Oh, yeah. Write that down. How many combinations we have? I mean,
we
at least 300
give you
right
a
now.
A handful of cheese.
Okay.
With wrapper or without?
But I don't even trust the beans. I feel like the beans are cooked in pork fat. Like, I guarantee the beans, whatever they're frying
aren't
or
vegan
refrying.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what, I don't trust what they cook in the beans in.
Mm. Well, I think they're going to start having, like, stuff with impossible foods, too.
Oh, really?
I think I know there are a lot of places that are trying to move in there. Del Taco, I think, is going to start serving Beyond Meat.
What?
That seems like a ingredient that is way too expensive
for
Del Taco.
Hey, why not, though?
Bell.
Fuck it if you want to.
Jack in the Box doesn't use real meat in their tacos. You know that? It's like a tofu something.
Oh, really?
It's not beef.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Those deep fried tacos?
Yeah.
So you're able to eat those?
I don't know. I don't want to. I've
what?
Never.
Oh, they're delicious.
Have you had them? They're so
no.
good.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
So whoever told me that, I think is like, I was like, I don't know if I trust this or not. So I was like, I'm just going to stay away.
That makes so much sense because it's just like brown mashed
yeah.
potato goo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
there.
All it is.
And I was like, deep fried lettuce? Mm, all right. Well,
they yeah. fry their lettuce?
The lettuce that's in the shell with cheese or whatever, and then they deep
and they
fry that
fry
really quick.
All, oh.
Yeah. But it's not like it, you know, it just becomes
and
hot.
And why is it? Why do you even need to fry it?
Oh,
that's,
just that's what makes it good.
That's what makes it good.
Of course it is.
Oh, man.
Of course it is.
So
it sounds delicious, but why?
In right. high school, that was the wave. You get high, you have $5, you could get two tacos for a dollar, you could get 10 motherfucking tacos for $5.
Yeah.
Watch me work.
People in the rest of America don't know what they're missing, man.
With the Jack in the Box.
The Jack in the Box taco.
Now to know that I might have been on some like vegetarian wave because it wasn't even beef. I guess they weren't even saying beef then?
Yeah.
They just called it the taco.
I wonder if there are people who are like, well, I guess I'm a vegetarian.
Right. Yeah, because I eat tacos every night.
only eat that. But yeah, White Castle also has Impossible.
They do?
Yeah.
But there's no White Castles out here.
I know. But when there are, man, whenever I'm near White
whenever I drive
get that
by
Crave case, you know what I mean? With like whatever 40 tacos or, I mean, burgers.
Burgers,
that
thing. Mm.
And then I remember that's, I think that's why like Wu-Tang was doing, they had like, they were collaborating with Impossible.
Oh,
they
really?
Were, like, yeah, when they were first serving it, I remember like Raekwon and Ghostface Killah were at like a White Castle like in New York somewhere.
Who's running Impossible? Me?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Like Wu-Tang and fast food.
They're like,
those are the things that you should. Well,
from the golden era of hip hop, like Nas will do Illmatic in its entirety at the new White Castle.
Well, Candace, it's been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thanks, guys.
Where can people find you?
On social medias.
Oh,
you
okay.
can find me at Jokes by Candace, JokesByCandice.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, my he's one of my favorite people in the world, Roy Wood Jr.
Yeah.
If you don't know him, watch him
now
on The Daily Show. He's a correspondent on there. I took a screenshot of it. He's just so funny everywhere in life, but also on social media. And he posted a picture of this like knockoff brand of earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
Earbuds.
Earbuds.
The ones that are for the iPhones. Yeah, AirPods.
Yeah.
He posted a picture of a knockoff brand of these called Soundmates. And he says, put these in your ear, then cover them up with a little do-rag. Folks won't know the difference. They only $30. Big Mac versus Big Mick. Which is a Coming to America reference for those of you who don't know. So
McDowell's.
McDowell's.
Wait, there was a McDowell's pop-up.
At South. Yeah. At South. Yeah.
Did you go?
No.
Was there anything for you?
I missed it on both occasions. I don't know. Maybe I don't know, but I missed it. I was out of town the first time and I forget why I couldn't go this time. But a word on the street is they're doing that in promotion because I hear they're doing another Coming to It. They're remaking Coming, which is a huge mistake.
With who?
Do not do that.
I don't know, but I don't even know if there's any truth to that.
I would like to see Arsenio Hall's old ass semi.
Oh, yes. That would be great.
Like, I would like to see where they're at now.
I mean, if they do, I think they're talking about recasting. That's why I'm like, no. If they bring back the old and like
But then that would be painful to see the original cast totally fuck up too.
Oh, right.
And
of course.
I mean, I'd rather be like get mad at the young version. Like, see, this is why I should have been Eddie and Arsenio.
I think they should come up with a new idea for a new movie.
How about that?
What a crazy idea.
Rock, because that movie is fucking amazing. Miles, where can people find you?
You ain't never met no Martin Luther King.
His mama called him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay.
What is this, velvet?
I could quote Coming to America
God.
All day.
So whatever you like.
Whatever it is you like.
Yeah.
Hello, Baba.
That was one of my favorites. Yes, me, at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Two tweets I like are from Reductress. One was, tell me if this makes any sense, says a woman about to read a completely normal email. and another one says, cool, this man isn't defending R. Kelly. He's just asking some questions. But the guy in the photo looks like this, like douchey kind of wannabe troll dude who's like, well, I mean, like, what do we really know? Ugh. Anyway, so Reductress, always on the go.
Always on the go. I'm rocking my new Reductress mug. Just having a moan with my cough.
That's it. Oh, shit.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted at me that, and they were like, you need to get this. And they were right.
Because
I bought it immediately.
Your love of shortening words that don't need shortening.
Abreeves?
Yeah. Abreeves. Oh, shit.
My favorite tweet at the moment, at Trenton Hassels tweeted, if Beto O'Rourke doesn't announce his candidacy by pulling up a chair and sitting backwards in it, I won't know what to believe anymore. and you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
Yes, this is a song called Cry by the artist Kaina, K-A-I-N-A. and I think you're going to enjoy it. Please enjoy it. Please enjoy.
Please?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend, okay?
All right.
All right. Bye.
All right, Cage.
Just the thought of you makes me wonder.